This is Jim Fetzer, your host on RBN Live with Authentic News this 26th day of September. During his recent speech to the United Nations, Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov, whom I regard as the exemplar, the absolute preeminent foreign minister or secretary of state among all nations, attacked the United States for its self-centered foreign policy, completely appropriately in my judgment. Russia's top diplomat denounced the United States and the West as self-interested defenders of a fading international power structure. The U.S. and its subordinate Western collective are continuing to fuel conflicts which artificially divide humanity into hostile blocks and hamper the achievement of overall aims. They're doing everything they can to prevent the formation of a genuine multipolar world order. They're trying to force the world to play according to their own self-centered rules. He's got that 100% right. Ukraine's seats in the assembly were empty for a part of Lavrov's speech, which accused the U.S., among other things, of whipping up hysteria on the Korean Peninsula, where North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, whom I like, made a rare foray out of his country by train to meet Russian President Vladimir Putin, an unsettling development for South Korean allies, including the United States, during which he agreed to send 300,000 to 500,000 troops from North Korea to aid Russia and Ukraine. For as I mentioned before, these are among the best troops in the world. Mark my words. Later, in a news conference, Lavrov said the U.S. was effectively engaged in hostilities with us, using the Ukrainians as fodder. You can call this whatever you want, but they are directly at war with us. We call this a hybrid war, but that does not change the reality. Notice how crucial it is. Russia is declaring the United States is at war with Russia, and he's got them right. Meanwhile, Sevastopol has been targeted by another missile attack. This seems to go on virtually unabated, but here's what we get. On September 23rd, Ukraine launched another attack on Crimea. The peninsula was reportedly targeted by six Neptune anti-ship missiles launched from the Odessa region. The Russian military has yet to confirm the attack. Air alert sounded in the city of Sevastopol twice that morning. In total, the alert was heard for about 40 minutes. Local authorities confirmed the attack, claiming the air defense systems were working in the area, but passenger traffic in the Bay of Sevastopol was suspended, appropriately so. Meanwhile, in relation to their earlier attack, Ukraine is claiming that it killed the Black Sea commander for the Russian fleet. Ukraine has claimed an attack launched on Friday killed 34 Russian officials, including the head of Russian Black Sea Fleet, Admiral Viktor Sokol. The Ukrainian claim has not been confirmed. The Russian side only reported a single serviceman missing after the attack, which has targeted the Russian Black Sea Fleet's headquarters in Sevastopol. Ukrainian sources claimed the strike was launched with British-provided Storm Shadow missiles with a range of about 155 miles. After the defeat of the headquarters of the Russian Armed Forces, 34 officers died, including the commander of the Russian Armed Forces. Another 105 were wounded. The headquarters buildings cannot be restored. This is a bold claim, which may turn out to be true, but at present cannot be confirmed. Meanwhile, the first batch of U.S.-made Abrams tanks have arrived in Ukraine. Let's see how long it takes a Russian to dispose of them. My promise, not long at all. President Zelensky of Ukraine said Monday the first batch of Abrams tanks have arrived in Ukraine, which are armed with toxic depleted uranium ammunition. Abrams are already in Ukraine and are preparing to reinforce our brigades. I'm grateful to our allies for fulfilling their agreements. We look for new contracts and expanding the geography of supply. U.S. officials confirmed the arrivals and comments to the New York Times, saying they were the first of 31 tanks Ukraine would receive and that more would be delivered in the coming months. They said so far, Ukraine had received two tank platoons, putting the number of Abrams between 8 and 10. I guarantee you, they're not going to be around for long. Meanwhile, perhaps far more significant, uproar ensues over a 60-minute report that U.S. is paying the salaries of Ukraine's first responders and subsidizing small businesses in Ukraine. Think about it. The U.S. has spent billions aiding Ukraine as the Eastern European nation battles. This is coming from the blaze. And a brutal Russian invasion, which was done for very high purpose to protect the Russian ethnic Russians, Russian-friendly occupants at Donbass that have been constantly under artillery bombardment since the coup of 2014, which deposed the Russian-friendly president, installed him with a Western puppet of whom Zelensky is the successor. But the aid has gone beyond simply assisting the embattled country with armaments. 60 Minutes reported, this was Sunday, U.S. is purchasing seeds and fertilizer for Ukrainian farmers, covering the salaries of Ukraine's first responders, all 57,000 of them, and subsidizing small businesses. Democrat presidential candidate RFK Jr. responded, indicating the U.S. should help its own. What a suggestion? Let's support farmers, small businesses, and first responders in our own country instead. You don't live in a country. You don't live in a tax farm for a global empire, said Blaze TV host Orrin McIntyre, very appropriately as well. Everything you wish our government would step in and do for us here, they're doing over in Ukraine with our tax dollars, said Michael Seifert. Billions for Ukrainian farmers, first responding, and Ukrainian entrepreneurs. Why? The U.S. should be doing the tough work of peacemaking. We need aggressive diplomats if you want to avoid war, meaning nuclear war with Russia. Where's the draft peace plan? Richard Grenell tweeted. U.S. lawmakers also sounded off. Representative Eli Crane of Arizona objected to how American tax money is being spent. Things that Americans' hard-earned tax dollars shouldn't be funding, he tweeted. Nothing the federal government does is transparent to the American people, said GOP Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama. Meanwhile, nearly 200 people will die of fentanyl poisoning in the USA today. Almost all of it flows over our open southern border. Pure insanity, said Republican Representative Jim Banks of Indiana in response to the report. All appropriate criticisms. It's truly outrageous what Biden is doing, but take for granted this is all totally purposeful, totally planned. Meanwhile, Gary Barnett had published on Lou Rockwell, this long-plotted world takeover scheme is more advanced than any normal human being can fathom. To begin, I'll preface my remarks saying that this is an attempt to explain in simple terms very complicated financial and economic crimes being used against Americans and also against the entire world population in order to create and sustain total control over humanity. This is meant to manifest itself in the concept of one world governance, the Great Reset, or the New World Order. This may seem a bold statement. It is not. Once you understand that everything that's happened over many decades is linked, especially since a plotted and premeditated false flag event called 9/11. You should be able to recognize a massive number of obvious connections that are incredibly evil. It has recently become more prevalent, mostly by alternative news sites and bloggers, to put out the notion that many are waking up and that the people are winning the battle for freedom. In my opinion, this is just not so. And in fact, it's misleading, as false hope is the driving force of this thinking. It's evident that more are claiming to be against government tyranny, but absolutely nothing has been done to reduce or eliminate the power of the state at any level to date. In addition, the nefarious efforts of the state and its controllers continue to expand, and the drive toward more draconian policies is never-ending. In the current environment, it's not known what reaction by the masses might be, considering the vast and imminent array of so-called emergencies that are certain to arise as this controlling cabal seeks to advance its agendas. But if the past is any indication, compliance should be expected. The takeover framework of these ruling psychopaths is always based on the prototype of problem-reaction-solution, of which all are fake premeditated events and false emergencies. Conspiracies, in fact, meant to instill fear or hatred or confusion, so a state can't pretend to come to the rescue of its hapless slave class. The strategy has worked most every time it's been tried to date, and the herd, continue to simply go along, regardless of the erroneous rhetoric being spewed that the populace is winning. It is not. And so long as the state continues and succeeds in its push to retake and transform society, whether psychologically, financially, or economically, the power of the ruling class and its governing systems will advance its wealth transfer, its monetary monopoly, and its depopulation efforts. Think about it. He continues. Psychological manipulation and control is necessary for the state thugs to accomplish their mission of world takeover. But financial and economic control is mandatory. Which brings us to the real question. Who owns and controls this world? It's certainly the big banking cartels, including all central banks, the large corporate magnates, the government-projected NGO foundation, and of course, the entire global asset industry, which by 2020 controlled well over $100 trillion. But who owns and controls all of these entities? Who has a controlling interest in everything on Earth? That is BlackRock and the Vanguard Group, as I explained a year ago. There are a few thousand institutional investment firms that own every large bank, every large corporation, every large investment firm, every news outlet, every large communication company, every large pharmaceutical company, every large transportation. In other words, most every large company on Earth is owned by these institutional investors. In turn, the small institutional investment firms are owned by larger institutional investment firms, and the larger owned by even larger. The two institutional investment companies that are the major owners and controllers of the others are Vanguard Holdings and BlackRock. And Vanguard is the largest shareholder of BlackRock. What it means is that Vanguard and BlackRock own and control this planet. I would submit as an additional thought that it appears to me Vanguard and BlackRock are controlled by the Rothschild banking industry. So we don't want to miss the big picture. Very serious stuff. Meanwhile, we have a top Democrat accused of violating the Constitution with a new order. According to a report, Democrat California Representative Ted Lieu declared an executive order on firearm safety issued by New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham unlawful. Reports show Friday Governor Grisham, who's been in office since 2019, declared that gun violence and drug misuse constituted a public health emergency in the state. In Bernalillo County, where Albuquerque is located, the state's concealed and open gun regulation were suspended for 30 days as part of the deception. Well, Representative Liu has it exactly right. And because of protests, she has backed down and dropped her insistence, restricting it just to a couple public places like libraries and zoos. Meanwhile, surprise, surprise, White House live stream cuts Biden mid-sentence as he goes off script. An official White House live stream of President Biden remarked was abruptly cut mid-sentence Monday, just named after a report revealed that some White House staffers have stopped listening to him speak in public for fear he'll veer off message. Biden was meeting with officials in Boise, Idaho, to discuss the wildfires raging across the western U.S. when he turned his attention to George Gessler of the National Association of State Foresters. "Can I ask you a question?" Biden said. "Of course," Gessler answered. "One of the things I've been working on with some others is," Biden said before the audio and video stopped abruptly and without warning. They are worried he's going to muck up. He's done it so many times. Meanwhile, and this is, of course, all part of the master plan, migrants hoping to reach the U.S. continue north through Mexico by train amid historic migration levels. As a train roared in the distance, some 5,000, mostly Venezuelan migrants, hoping to make it to the U.S., snapped into action. Families with young children sleeping on top of cardboard boxes, young men and women tucked away in tents under a nearby bridge, scrambled to pack their things. After the train arrived on the outskirts of the central Mexican city, Veracruz, some swung their bodies over its metal trailers with ease. Others tossed up bags, handed up their small children swaddled in winter coats. Come up, migrants. Top the train, urged those below. Others yelled, God bless Mexico. Thousands of other migrants were stranded in other parts of the country after Mexico's biggest railroad said it had halted 60 freight trains. The company, Ferromex, said so many migrants were hitching rides on the train that it had become unsafe to move them. The company had said it had seen a half dozen regrettable cases of injuries or death in the span of just days. When the train arrived Saturday, Ferromex was painted on many of the gondolas. Local police were stationed around the improvised camp where the migrants had been waiting. But when the train stopped for about 30 minutes, there was no attempt to stop them from climbing aboard. Indeed, we know Biden is providing them with all kinds of benefits, welcoming them in. They're getting $2,200 a month. They're getting food. They're getting rent. They're getting green passes. They're going to work, and they're undercutting migrants who already have low-paying jobs who are being undercut. This is starting to create a backlash. Meanwhile, a Washington Post ABC poll shows Trump with a 10-point lead over Joe Biden. This is coming from the conservative treehouse Sundance. At a lengthy dinner last night, this was part of the conversation. In my remarks, I shared that Donald Trump had gained approximately 20% more support among the average voting base for 2024 than he had in 2020. This puts a margin of voter fraud needed to defeat Trump in 2024 at a level that cannot be attained. This visible scale of support is also one of the baseline data points explaining why Barack Obama is slowly exiting from the Biden influence operation. Obama knows when to exit and avoid the collateral damage. I drive home, check alert news, and there it is. A new Washington Post ABC poll showing President Trump with a 10-point lead over Joe Biden, 52-42. Video series, I will be discussing. Washington Post spends the majority of the article trying to reconcile their polling result as an outlier, meaning I think you too improbable will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit
as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shiro Ji literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shiro Ji has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
In a stunning court filing, Trump's lawyers pulled no punches as they accused Biden of attempting to take out his political rivals or seeking to recuse a biased judge, Tanya Chutkan, whom they claim is overturning the 2020 election, or should I say refusing to acknowledge that it was stolen, and boy, do they have a point. Chutkan made some rather interesting comments in a recent case. She wondered aloud why Trump hadn't been charged over the events of January 6th. Now, any reasonable person would think maybe she shows some bias there, but not the Democrats. The prosecutor, Jack Smith, had the audacity to argue that Chutkan's comments were being taken out of context. Out of context? Trump's team rightfully called those comments gratuitous and plainly hostile. It's crystal clear she has it out for Trump. Here's the real kicker. Trump lawyers are slamming the whole trial as a show trial orchestrated by Biden himself. They believe Biden is using the power of the presidency to take out his most significant political opponent. Surprise, surprise. And come on, who can argue with that logic? Trump has been a thorn in the Democrat side since day one, and they'll do anything they can to eliminate him. 100% true. Have no doubt about it. It's continuing unabated. Trump is also, and this is to confirm the previous report about how far he's leading Trump, shakes up the DNC minority backing skyrockets to a 50-year GOP high. In a shocking turn of events, former President Trump has gained support from minority voters at a level never seen before. This is making Democrats very worried. The Washington Post said Trump's approval ratings among blacks and Hispanics have gone up a lot, even though his presidency has been divisive and the political environment is tense. The Western Journal says that DNC is in panic mode because Trump's support among minorities is greater than that of any Republicans in the past 50 years. Political experts are still trying to figure out a change in the minds of minority voters. Some say it's because of Trump's economic policies. Before the pandemic, black and Hispanic Americans had the lowest unemployment rates in history. Others think people are unhappy with how the current government is handling important problems. Recent polls show his support is also growing in key battleground states, which could hurt Biden's chance for re-election in 2024. In a made-up election for November 2024, both Biden and Trump got 39%, meaning 20% were still not sure who they would vote for. But Trump seems to be in a better position in seven key states of Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Nevada, and Michigan. For Trump has 41%, Biden 35%, leaving 24% uncertain. Have no doubt about it. Even before the 2020 election, 40% of black likely voters wanted to support Trump. They're planning to vote for him because he was doing them so much good. The economy was so strong. They as the lowest earning wage earners were seeing their wages rise at the highest rate. I believe that's very powerful in the black community. And then Hispanic, who are mostly Catholic, they have been profoundly disillusioned by all the transgender, all the lawlessness, all the decriminalizing, shoplifting, the rising crime. Both minorities, of course, resent the massive flow of migration, which is leaving earlier migrants here losing their jobs because the new arrival will take them at cut rate prices. If they'll do it for $40, whereas previously they had to pay $200, the companies are going with a cheaper labor. In fact, that may even be a major reason, or among those, why Biden is so enthusiastic about opening our borders. Meanwhile, a Trafalgar poll showed Trump's leading in Iowa by 33 points, nationally by 42. With a second Republican primary debate tomorrow, former President Trump maintains a huge lead in both the first in the nation Iowa and the latest national poll by the Trafalgar Group. Trump leads in the Iowa caucus over DeSantis, only has 16% in the field by 33 points, pulling 49% in the battleground state. The result roughly mirrors the nationwide GOP primary polling by the Trafalgar Group, where Trump is even stronger, pulling a 56% majority and leading DeSantis only 14% by nearly 42 points.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model Easy 4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Just 7 candidates have qualified for the second Republican primary debate, which will be held tomorrow. A total of 7 have qualified. Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, Entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, former VP Mike Pence, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, and North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum meet the criteria to qualify for the second primary scheduled to take place tomorrow. All 7 participated in August 1st debate in Milwaukee. The criteria to take part in this event were stricter this time compared to the first, and some former participants did not make the cut. Let me add, deservedly so. Former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson failed to meet for the next debate, which will take place on September 27th, 9 p.m. Eastern, at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley. Hutchinson vowed in a statement to continue campaigning, even though he fell short of the RNC's polling requirement. He wants to stand up to Donald Trump. I intend to continue doing what I'm doing and speaking out. He wants to highlight what he claims are Trump's false promises to blue collar and union workers in Michigan and across America. Good luck with that, Asia Chissa. Meanwhile, as far as Biden's concerned, his staff are having a hard time keeping him upright. Biden's handlers are now doubling down on efforts to keep him upright. Finds himself defeated by an acronym. Doesn't matter what we call it, he says, when he can't figure it out. The oldest president in American history appears to be finding it increasingly difficult to stay upright and read his lines. Days after regaling supporters with the exact same story twice, inside the span of just a few minutes, President Joe Biden addressed the leaders of the 18 Asia Pacific Island Forum, announcing the U.S. diplomatic recognition of two additional Pacific Island nations, the Cook Island and Niue. When the subject of economic development came up, the 80-year-old Democrat found himself unable to both process an acronym and get his numbers straight. Strong growth begins with strong infrastructure. So today I'm pleased to announce we're working with Congress to invest $40 billion in our Pacific Island Infrastructure Initiative. We call it the PGPI. Anyway, said Biden, surrendering his attempt to identify the letters of the acronym, it doesn't matter what we call it, but that's what it is. Following subdued laughter from the crowd, Biden added, I was going to get back to acronyms, and I'm going to withstand not doing that. Just one of innumerable gaffes that totally discredit the man as utterly incapable of handling the job. I doubt he will be the candidate in 2024. Meanwhile, and I find this a fascinating development, RFK Jr. flirts with the Libertarian Party. For months, RFK Jr. has said plans to continue his long-shot challenge against Biden in the Democrat primary, rather than dropping out to launch a third-party bid. But lately, Mr. Kennedy's message has seemed to shift, including publicly telling a voter who asked about his plans that he was keeping his options open. If Mr. Kennedy does decide to leave the party of his famous father and uncles to run in the general election, one potential landing spot might be the Libertarian Party, which at the moment lacks a widely known candidate, but has excelled at securing ballot access. That would be, in my opinion, a perfect combination. He emphasized he's committed to running as a Democrat, but said he considers himself very libertarian. Mrs. McCardle said in an interview, saying they agreed on several positions where she, by the way, represents the Libertarian Party, including the threat of the deep state and the need for populist messages. We're aligned on a lot of issues. My perspective is that we're going to stay in touch in case he does decide to run, Ms. McCardle said, and he can contact me at any time if that's the case. I think that's well worth consideration because this Democrat Party of today is not the Democrat Party of his father, RFK, or of his uncle JFK, or even of Teddy Kennedy. Meanwhile, Trump has made an endorsement that seems to be throwing the media for a bit of a loop. Former President Trump's family have faced vicious attacks from the media since he descended the golden elevator in 2015. Family's been an important part of Trump's campaign. His latest presidential run is taking a different shape. Trump's daughter Ivanka and her husband Jared Kushner are taking a step back. Former First Lady Melania appeared at her husband's side during his November presidential announcement, but has been absent from the campaign trail since. The media began baseless rumors of a major tension between the two over his third presidential campaign. But he shut down the smear when he dropped a big announcement with Kristen Welker on NBC's Meet the Press. He said Melania would be back on the campaign trail with him pretty soon. Right now, she's with Barron in school. She loves that boy. She's very supportive. Welker pressed a former president on a specific date for the former first lady, to return to the campaign trail pretty soon. when it's appropriate pretty soon. Frankly, I think Melania is a great asset, and I find it completely disgusting that the Democrats put so much pressure on the women's magazine that for the entire 4 years that Donald Trump was in office, even though he was married to a beautiful woman who handled the responsibilities with the White House and as First Lady impeccably, they did not allow her to appear on the cover of any of those magazines, to the best of my knowledge, even once. Outrageous, petty, shallow, just disgustingly bad. Meanwhile, I'm very pleased that the Supreme Court of my own state has banned absentee drop boxes. Good intentions never override the law. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has banned absentee ballot drop boxes in the state, so they will not be able to use them no matter what happens with COVID. Justice Rebecca Bradley and the court's conservative majority, including swing justice Brian Hagedorn, ruled on the issue in 2022. Nothing in the statutory language detailing the procedure by which absentee ballots may be cast mentioned drop boxes or anything like that. Staff, the WEC, that's the Wisconsin Election Commission, may have been trying to make voting as easy as possible during the pandemic. But whatever their motivations, WEC must follow Wisconsin statutes. Good intentions never override the law. I like this. This is a good decision. I find it encouraging. And with a new majority, perhaps even I, a citizen of Wisconsin, has got a very clear case against the circuit court and the Court of Appeals for a taking of my book and blog, which were in violation of Wisconsin's own statutes, which require the appointment of a receiver, and where the Court of Appeals, when I made that argument, ignored it, basically, and suggested that I had been given suitable compensation by evaluating a book at 25,000 times four versions, $100,000, which I pointed out the book has no value unless it's marketed. The Court of Appeals said I had said the book had no value, leaving out unless it's marketed. Plus, it ignoring the fact that the $25,000 was per month, not total value per month, based on nearly 500 copies having been sold during the period from 22 October 2015 to 19 November, when it sold nearly 500 copies. So the Court of Appeals is further, in my opinion, disgracing itself by not treating the law of Wisconsin as it should be doing and correcting the faulty actions taken by a lower court. If that's not the role of a court of appeals, what the hell is it? Meanwhile, expert media wrong bombshell COVID revelations. A new study of lactating women who took the COVID vax found trace amounts of mRNA up to 45 hours after vaccination in the breast milk of 10 of the women, contradicting the government's and vaccine enthusiasts' narrative that mRNA was safe for breastfeeding moms and their infants because it would not travel throughout the body. Our findings suggest the COVID-19 mRNA administered to lactating mothers can spread systematically to breast milk in the first 2 days after maternal vaccination. Biodistribution of mRNA vaccine in human breast milk, the name of their study, published in the October 2023 edition of the British Medical Journal Lancet, which, by the way, is the oldest medical journal in the world. And get this, suspicious timing for a colossal rise in child deaths in the UK. On the cusp of the new COVID booster shot rollout, former BlackRock portfolio manager Edward Dowd gives Dell, Big Tree, a shocking update highlighting the colossal rise in excess deaths in children in the UK since the COVID vaccine was rolled out. It's bad news across the board. The evidence is overwhelming and impossible to deny. unless, of course, you're willing to simply make out falsehoods as truths. Meanwhile, and this is also welcome news, Biden's assault weapon ban faces a major setback after a California ruling. Posted September 24th, this past Friday, a significant legal development unfolded in California as a federal judge overruled the state restriction on gun magazines, which had limited them to 10 rounds. The ruling was based on the assertion the law violated the Constitution. Concurrently, President Joe Biden expressed his support for reinstating the ban on assault weapons and advocated for the allowance of only low-capacity magazines. Gun control and Second Amendment are both a subject of ongoing national debate. The decision by U.S. District Court Judge Roger Benitez was heavily influenced by a Supreme Court verdict from 2022, New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. The Supreme Court had emphasized that state-level gun control measures must align with the Second Amendment's textual essence, enriched by its historical backdrop, including, of course, all the case law that attends. The focal point was a California statute criminalizing possession and use of standard firearm magazines, which are ordinarily owned for lawful purposes. In his ruling, Judge Benitez underscored that California law was unequivocally unconstitutional based on the Second Amendment text, history, and tradition. He elaborated on the evolution of firearm technology, emphasizing how detachable magazines address the historical challenge of ammunition scarcity during confrontations. The judge pointed out that larger magazines are essential when more ammunition is needed, a sentiment shared by many gun owners who prefer having more than 10 rounds already in their firearms. Judge Benitez also highlighted the widespread prevalence of magazines with capacities exceeding 10 rounds, noting popular handguns and rifles often come with 17 and 30 round magazines respectively. He cited the Glock 17 handgun, a standard 17 round magazine, as an example, of which I am a proud possessor. In his critique of California's 10 round limit, Benitez argued that the restriction lacked historical precedent and was arbitrary. He refuted California's justification for the limit, saying that such determination should be the prerogative of citizens, not the states. This is a very welcome and appropriate finding. Very. Indeed, the Supreme Court historically has upheld the interpretation of the law as justifying the possession of military weapons. Many Democrats have made the specious argument that the Founding Fathers didn't have military-style weapons in mind when they passed the Second Amendment. But the only weapons that were available at the time of the founding of the nation were military weapons. They had precisely not just military-style weapons in mind, military weapons themselves, which, of course, were indispensable to defend the nation in a time of national need, such as an invasion or to overthrow a tyrannical government. Glad to see a California judge is defending the Constitution in relation to the Second Amendment, the importance of which is becoming enormously greater with the invasion taking place at our southern border, and where many of these migrants, the vast majority, in fact, appear to be young, physically fit, military-age men, whom I believe are constituting an army that has only to be armed, where the government has acquired over $1 billion worth of military equipment by agencies who do not have a need therefore. Meanwhile, MSNBC darling Jen Psaki was backed into a corner. Her latest bizarre rant proves she has lost her mind. Leftist Jen Psaki has proven she can't even defend the Democrats' anti-life agenda. When confronted with the extreme pro-abortion stance of President Biden and his cohort, she was backed into a corner. And now her latest bizarre rant proves she lost her mind.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Another development on the environmental front, Biden's EV electric vehicle agenda is crushing the automobile industry while hardworking Americans are having to pay the price. And yet another blow to the American economy. The Biden admin is steamrolling ahead with its radical environmental agenda, this time targeting the automotive industry by implementing burdensome regulations through agencies like the Environmental Protection Agency and the Department of Energy. Biden hopes to force car companies into producing electric vehicles, but at what cost? The toll on the bottom line is simply staggering. Take Ford, for example. This iconic American company is projected to lose an astonishing $4.5 billion this year alone due to the foray into the electric vehicle market. Yes, you read that right. $4.5 billion. That's equivalent to a jaw-dropping $60,000 loss for every single EV they produce. Talk about a shock to the system. Now, the Biden admin undoubtedly argue that hardworking American taxpayers should foot the bill for these disastrous losses. They'll parade their subsidies, like the ones from the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, and claim they have made electric vehicles more affordable. But let's not be fooled by their smoke and mirrors. These subsidies only serve to hide the true cost and burden being placed on the American people. The damage doesn't end there. As if the massive financial losses weren't enough, we now have the ongoing United Auto Workers strike against not just Ford, but also General Motors and Chrysler. And guess what sparked this strike? None other than President Biden's forced transition to electric vehicles. So not only are American car companies bleeding money, but now their employees are taking a stand against these unrealistic and harmful mandates. Let me mention, Biden just went down to claim he joined in the picket line with United Auto Workers who are protesting, who are on strike. But how absurd is that? What would Biden be doing with marching with strikers who are protesting the policies he's pursuing and forcing the automobile companies to implement, even if it's costing them billions in losses? What happened to the free market? What happened to competition between products? If you want to have an electric vehicle, that can be your choice. But it should not be the case that the administration is imposing their production on an industry that doesn't want them and is losing money from pursuing it. We'll be right back and take your calls.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.